A well-known preacher said this quote, "Christians are not citizens of earth trying to make it to heaven, but they're citizens of heaven making their way through this world." Isn't that true? We're citizens of heaven, pilgrims and strangers. We're not at home here in this world. We're at home over there. That's our goal, to get there. I would like to preach this morning on the realities of heaven. The realities of heaven. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it would be nice to read this whole chapter and all of chapter 5, but I think I'll just limit my reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, to verse 7 of chapter 5. Verse 14 says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, shall present us with you." One of these days, Jesus is going to raise all those who have faith in Christ. We love and look, we have already risen to a new life in Christ Jesus, but we look forward to the final resurrection, we look forward to that when Gwenda will rise. Isn't that special? She'll rise with a new body, with no problems, no medical, no issues, be perfectly whole. I'm not sure how that is, but she'll have a glorified body just like us. Verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the world, for we walk by faith, not by sight." This week I've been reading quite a bit about secular humanism. And one of the things they believe is that after life, that's it. Life is not affected by any higher power or a God. There is nothing, and there is nothing beyond death. Everything that you do is here and now. That's why they call it secular. This morning, how can we say that? How can anybody say that? Witnessing people suffer, witnessing the people of faith going through a time of affliction. How can anybody say that? I'd like to look at eight realities of heaven today. Not all taken from these verses. But I would just like to touch on eight realities of heaven. And I'm sure there's a thousand realities of heaven, but we're going to look at just eight of them today. So join with me in going through the scriptures and looking at the realities of heaven. Number one, it is a place. It is a place. It is a place. And it's a place that we can anticipate. I'm not sure all the details of heaven, but it is a place. We believe that the scriptures say to be much more true and much more important than what any secular humanist says. And the Word of God right here tells us that in verse 17, that we have a light affliction, it says. It says it's just for a moment. But it worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. It worketh for us. Affliction does. We have affliction. We experienced affliction this week. But it's working for us a far more important and eternal weight of glory. Isn't it doing that? It's doing that, isn't it? It's making us look beyond. Where is Gwenda? She's in heaven. And it makes us want to go there. It's a place of anticipation. There's a light affliction. We don't know why this came to be. But it's only for a moment. But for a moment. We have different moments in our life. We have moments of affliction. We have moments of joy. We have moments. Moments seem so cheap and they seem so plentiful to young people that are 20. They think there's an endless supply of moments and they can do what they want to. They can accomplish many things, and indeed they can. I'm getting to the place in my life where I realize the moments are getting less. They're getting less. They seem so cheap and plentiful to a young person. We live in this moment. And we think it's always going to be that way. But a week like this and events like this, we are called to the solemn reality that life has an end. But for a moment, we have affliction. But it worketh in us a far more an eternal weight of glory. You know, picture, many of us are too young to picture the balance scales. I think that's the picture that is here. Life, light affliction is on this side of the balance scales. How many of you remember balance scales? Balance, yeah, many of you do. Put a light affliction over here, and the eternal weight of glory pulls it down over here. It's way better. It's way better, the eternal weight of glory, way heavier. Heaven is a place. A place of far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Whose glory? God's glory. God's glory. Glory is the unrestricted view and presence of God. In Revelation, it says we shall see his face. We shall see his face. Are you making choices in your life that ensures you that you will see his glory? We want to know God. We want to see God. We know that there is more than life. We know that man is a three-part being. We see the body, it is here this morning. But there's a part of man that goes to heaven and the body stays behind. We go in glorified body. There's a part of man that goes upward. Ecclesiastes says so. Today we serve this God is infinite. Turn with me to Psalm 147, verse 3 and 3 through 5. These words are Psalm 147, verse 3. It says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them all by their names. The stars at night are all named by God. He knows the infinite numbers of stars. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And that's the God that heals our wounds and binds up our sores. He's infinite, not confined. He knows everything about you. He's a God that has made time. A God that has made time. And he's a God that has... It's interesting. Have you ever had a big disappointment in life? And you go on through life after that big disappointment. That disappointment you never you thought you could never get over. And all of a sudden, as you go down through time, you realize that God was working through that disappointment for your good. I've had many times like that. I've had children that have experienced severe disappointments. They thought they could never get over it. And all of a sudden, years down the road, they realized it was for you, for their good. And that's the way God works. There's an interconnectedness with each moment of time, each disappointment, each light affliction. And it brings us to the future. Brings us into the future. There are no minutes. There is no time in this control, this infinite God, that there's a minute that spins out of his control, that he has no control over. He is infinite. And he takes each one of us and he lines up the minutes somehow. The minutes of affliction, the minutes of joy, for an interconnectedness with our future. And it's for the eternal weight of glory. It's so we get there. Get there. This moment grasps the many moments of the past and is a vital link to the future. This moment grabs the many minutes of the grasps the many minutes of the past and is a vital link to something in the future, and that is eternity. That is eternity. Let's think about life. Moments of affliction. Let's talk about those a little bit. They tend to pry us loose from the chains of secular earthly life. Don't they? They pry us loose. Start to crack. Puts the crowbar in underneath us and pries us loose. And we begin to think about eternity. And I ask you very bluntly and very kindly this morning, can we allow God to control this moment? Just remember, the work of this moment, the light affliction, is for the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God remembers all of us in each moment of our lives. There's a very special verse in Psalm 56, verse 8. That says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, but thou put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" God has a book and a bottle, and he puts our tears there, and the moments of our lives, the light affliction, in his book. They're there. That's what the Bible says. Earth is so temporal. It's so fleeting. but heaven is eternal. On and on and on. Earth is temporal and fleeting. Heaven is eternal. Earth is a place of mortality. Heaven is a place of life. Earth is a place of folding tents and dissolving tabernacles. Heaven is a place with a house not made with hands. We want to go there. Number two, heaven is a place for children and those who are childlike. You won't get to heaven unless you're like a child. Turn with me to Matthew 18, verse 1 through 3. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They had a problem with who is going to be the greatest. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." That's it. There it is. Unless you become childlike, you will not enter heaven. This morning as we were singing, I heard a little child singing. Maybe not quite on tune. But my Bible says, out of the babes of mouths and suckling, thou hast perfected praise. I thought about that. That child is perfecting praise. It's a perfect. It's perfect praise. The reality is that every child's name is written in the book of life. Every child's name is written in the book of life. The question I have for you, those of us who are at the age of accountability, is your name in the book of life? It can be blotted out. The scriptures are clear. But every child's name is in the book of life. Every child. Heaven is a place for children and those who are childlike. Are you that way? Number three, it's a place of the angels. It's a place of the angels. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. I can only imagine how it is when a child dies. Unseen to us, I believe from the scriptures, there's an angel that comes down and takes them home. Number four, heaven is a place where the prognosis is always good. The prognosis is always good. It is a place of unfailing health. Turn with me to Psalm 73. verse 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Our flesh and heart, they go downhill. I know what that's like. A little bit, personally, I had a stroke. Something went on in there that I don't know what happened, but my flesh was failing. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh and my heart faileth, that's our heart, our physical heart. But God is the strength of my heart, that's our spiritual heart. And he's my portion forever. It's a place where the prognosis is always good. There is no failed medical procedure. There is no heart transplants. There is no liver transplants. There is no chemotherapy. No bypass surgery. No therapy for stroke victims. But body's eternal. Philippians says, he shall change, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. There is no blood pressure medicine, no pain. In fact, the flesh, blood, makes it impossible to go to heaven. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:50. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. If you're in your body, you can't go. You're locked. You're penned. You're penned on earth. But out, the reality is that you must die and shed that body to go to heaven. Doesn't seem so bad after all to die. You can't get there in your body, in the flesh and blood. The prognosis is always good. It is a place of eternal health care. And it's without Medicaid and without Medicare, without Obamacare or Trump care. No staggering hospital bills. Wouldn't that be nice, John? Not have to deal with the health care. Health care bills. Deacons have a hard job here. Over there, it's all gone. It's all gone. Number five, it's a place of security. A place of security. We worry about security here, don't we? We take the keys out of our car. My wife does, that's very important to her, that you take the keys out of the car and lock the car, even at church. Why? Because somebody might come and steal our car, take our cell phones. Job says, there the wicked cease from troubling. and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together and hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. There is no security there. No metal detectors. No passwords. Aren't those passwords a pain? I forget them all the time. You don't need a password for heaven. No video surveillance. They say the average American is photographed, is on video at least 7 times a day anymore. There's no terrorist attacks, no earthquakes, no wars, no crime. And a little closer to home, no nasty accusations by people. It's a place of security. Don't you want to go there? Don't you long for home? Remember, Christians are people that are just going through this world. Heaven is our home. Number 6, it is a place of perfect environment. Isaiah 49:10 says, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that have mercy on them shall lead them. By the springs of water shall he guide them. By the springs of water shall he guide them. Imagine that. The Bible talks about the river of life. You know, it's hot the last couple days. We long for water. He will take us and lead us by the springs of water that'll be pure. No environmental pollution. It's a perfect environment. There'll be no corrosion, no rust, no break-ins. No global warming, no climate change, and no decay. Won't it be special to be in a place like that? Our cars wear out. Our bodies wear out. Our hair gets thin. Our memory fades. And our veins plug up over there. It's perfect forever. Number 7. It's a place of reunion. There is an unmistakable identity of those we know. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as also I am known. Mike Weaver will be Mike Weaver over there. Everybody will know him. Reuben Luthy will be Reuben Luthy. And I believe Conrad Luthy will come running up to his dad
that day. You'll know him. You'll know him. And Gwenda will too.
David said about his dead child, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. There's no use. There's a time of sorrow for sure. But let's look forward to the day when we go to him in a glorified body. It's a place of reunion. If your dad's there, your mom's there, you have children there, your husband was there, your wife is there, you'll know they'll be perfect. They'll be perfect. Praise God. Who would want to be a secular humanist? Eighth and final point. It's a place of untroubled hearts. John 14, often quoted, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Those of us who don't go through the affliction of death, one of these days, Jesus is coming back. Can you see him just now? Coming with 10,000 of his angels. Coming in glory. And those of us will rise and meet him in the air. Won't there be some flight? A lot of us have been on planes. I'm always a little scared when they take off. I'll admit that. You see that land going below you. You know, what happens if we blow up? Oh, you're going to go to heaven. That's just about what's going to happen. But that flight, no way. It's going to be with Jesus. And those who have faith in him will go to heaven and be with him forever in glorified bodies. There'll be no emotional stress there, no fear, no rejection, no financial stress. There'll be no antidepressants. A lot of those things that we've came to depend on. The psalmist captures it best. He said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. The limp will be gone. The arthritis will be gone. Those who are blind will see. I like the words of Fanny Crosby. When asked one time what she would, you know, she was blind, and she was asked one time what she would request if she had to do it all over again. She said this, I would request being blind so that the first thing my eyes behold would be the face of Jesus. Quite a testimony. Let's pray.